Psalm 66. Then I'm going to take you to Ephesians, the third chapter. Thank you, young man. Psalm 66. Pick this up. Verse 8. I want to give you the caveat of the text. So in the header, if you have a King James Bible, probably in your header of the text, it probably says, remember what God has done. Perhaps. But, or it says to the chief musician, a song, to the chief musician. To the chief musician, a song or psalm. To the chief. So this is for leaders. This is for mature individuals. He's addressing mature people. He's saying there's some things you should know by now. So he writes a psalm to recall what the Lord has done. Past tense. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And he goes through it and he opens up and he says, make a joyful noise and so forth and so on. All you lands and so forth and so on. In verse 8, he says, oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffers not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, tested us, tried us. You've proved us. You've tried us. As silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction upon our loins. You caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water. But thou brought us out into a wealthy place. Lord Jesus, you caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water. I went through it, so now I can come out of it. So through comes before out. Out doesn't come before through. So in other words, the only way out is through. I went through the fire, through the water, but, Lord Jesus, that thing right there, thou brought us out into a wealthy place or an abundant place or a well-watered place. Ephesians, the third chapter. I know I got some work to do. I thought your reaction on the wealthy place, I ain't gonna lie, I thought your reaction on the wealthy place was gonna be like, woo! Nah, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. I'm not even gonna sit up here and fake it. I was pausing for effect and everything. Y'all did. See, I'm honest, y'all. Y'all not. Ephesians 3. Verse 20. Now, before I read it, you took us through the fire and through the water, but you have brought us out into a wealthy place. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want to preach to you from the subject, a wealthy place. A wealthy place. If you're watching online, if you are tuned into Facebook Live, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you're watching. The same anointing that's in this room is permeating wherever you are. The same word that's going to set us free is going to set you free. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. Father, your word is so powerful that the Bible describes it as sharper than any two-edged sword. It's quickening. It means it has the power to make come alive. It has this power because it is alive. It is a living document. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our hearts. So we come before you today asking for you to speak a word, Father, that comes straight from your heart to ours. I'm nothing more than just clay, a vessel that you can use. So I submit myself as such that you may speak to your people. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive the word. Anoint our ears so that we can hear it. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Move as you see fit. Do what you like. You got the keys to the building. This is your house. And we are your people. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for what you're about to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, you'll agree, shout amen. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Come on, smile. I don't care if you got two teeth or no teeth. Smile and say, I'm coming out into a wealthy place. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If it's all right, I want to take my time with this text so that we can understand where we are. If God is going to take you somewhere over the rainbow and bring you into a position whereby your whole world changes because you've now crashed into a new level and you have to learn how to live on a new level, then it requires a certain amount of mental exercise on your behalf. Not only does it require mental exercise, it also requires spiritual exercise. If we took that understanding of what happened in Noah's life, as I just alluded to, of him building something that God told him to build, gave him a blueprint with no steering wheel, and then said, trust me, and had to drift his way into his destiny, only to crash into Mount Ararat, only to wait until the waters recede to find out whether or not where his new life was going to be. And in opening the ark, which he didn't get to do on his own, it was God who told him it's time to come out of the ark. And the ark opens up, and now your landscape has completely changed, and you're on the rocks of a mountain. And when your landscape changes and you find yourself on a new level, the first thing you better do is learn how to worship. When Noah came out of the ark, the first thing he did was worshiped. He worshiped the Lord, and he built an altar in that place because he had to get into the presence of the Lord to get his instructions on how to live on the next level. Because when you don't get instructed on how to live on the next level, the fruit that you're about to produce is different than the fruit that you produced on the low level. Noah was a farmer. He was growing corn and barley and wheat. Now God has him in the mountains, and that stuff don't grow up there. So you have to learn how to grow new fruit on the next level. And when you have to learn how to grow new fruit on the next level, you don't know how to eat the fruit that you've grown. This is why Noah got drunk off his own vineyard, because he didn't know the potency of what he was producing. What you are about to produce is so powerful, you have to be very careful that you don't get drunk on your own purpose. You have to be very careful that you don't allow your mind to get to the place where you think you know it all and you've done it all. You have to remain teachable on the next level. Because when God suits you up with wings and tells you to fly, you ain't never had wings before. And when he kicks you out the nest and say, baby, fly, you gotta learn how to do it. So you're gonna have to have a level of trust with the Lord so that you understand mentally and spiritually that he has me in a different space and in a different place. And because I'm there, I cannot meet this place with an old mindset. So I have to take some mental exercise and some spiritual exercise to be able to build the muscle that's going to be necessary in order for me to be able to endure where he has me. Coming out into a wealthy place sounds wonderful, and it sounds happy, and it sounds joyful, but let me burst your bubble just for a second. Coming out to a wealthy place is work. It's where your dreams become reality. Everybody loves to dream about it, but when it happens, you find out it shows up in overalls. I wish I had somebody in here. And when it begins to manifest and begins to take place, you'd rather go back to the dreaming, because the dreaming don't cost you nothing. The reality of what you're hoping for is now going to cost you time, it's going to cost you investment, it's going to cost you sweat, it's going to cost you blood, it's going to cost you the ability to have to cut some folk loose from your life that aren't healthy for where you are. It's going to cost you something. So before I jump into the wealthy place, I want to give you the caveat of suggesting to you that there is a short learning curve for you when God brings you out into a wealthy place. Ask the children of Israel, because this is the text that this is the group that the text is describing to us as David is writing to the chief musician to let them understand that you should know that God has already done some stuff. And so he opens the scripture and he says that we ought to praise the Lord and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't matter what type of praise you give him as long as it's joyful. That's why he said make a joyful noise. It doesn't matter if you can sing. It doesn't matter if you can hit E flat. It doesn't matter if you can hoop. It doesn't matter if you can holler. It doesn't matter if you sound like Stevie Wonder or Boy Wonder. It doesn't matter. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And so it says, when you come into this new space, you got to come into it with the attitude of praise, because you have to open up your mind and your heart and your spirit to the possibility and the probability of the opportunity. In other words, you want to take the opportunity, which is possible, and you want to make it probable. In other words, you want to take what God puts in front of you, which is always possible, and make it probable. The way you make it probable is that you have to go through some exercises to be able to do that. And David opens up the scripture and begins to tell us that we should make this joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious in the earth. In other words, your praise should be on the platform based upon who he is, not so much what you want him to do. So the first thing that I have to do when God brings me through it and I come out of it is that I have to start praising God just because I know who he is. It does not matter what he's about to do. My praise has to be centered in on who he is. Look at your neighbor and say, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? If you really knew him, you would understand this language that I'm giving you as I describe this whole sermon series as the portal. You would understand that what I'm talking about is not some passageway in the sky. I'm talking about the God in whom we serve through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the portal that I'm talking about. This is why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. When Noah came out of the ark, if you will, God gave a covenant and said, I'm going to make a covenant with you that whenever I shoot my bow in the sky, it will be a covenant and a sign of that I will never, ever destroy the earth again. That bow in the sky was a portal for Noah, for him to understand the radiance and the glory of God. Ezekiel comes along and explains that he saw him as a wheel in the middle of a wheel, and his splendor was as the colors of the rainbow. John the Revelator comes along and describes him in the book of Revelation as a man that has many colors, an array of colors coming out on the inside of him. What I'm suggesting to you is that you might not know him as much as you think you know him, because God likes to show up in different ways in our life, and we don't even know it. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. And so all throughout scripture, there are shadows and types of who Jesus is. In the Ark of the Covenant, my God, it was the children of Israel that were commanded to take a staff from every tribe and put it out. And whosoever staff would bud, blossom, and bloom in the same night would be the priesthood. Jesus is that staff that budded, blossomed, and bloomed all at the same time that Aaron carried, which was placed inside of the Ark of the Covenant. All throughout scripture, Jesus is a shadow and type in the Old Covenant. He is the coat of many colors. That my God, I wish I had somebody in here, that Jacob, my God, gave his boy Joseph. He is that coat of many colors that was torn and ripped apart and dipped in goat's blood so that they can go back and tell Jacob, your son is dead. But he wasn't dead. He was yet alive. That was a shadow and type of who Jesus is. Oh, slap your neighbor a high five and say, do you know him? Do you really know him? He is described as the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Isaiah comes along and says, he's the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, the mighty God. I can't get no help in this room. Look at your name and say, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? No, you don't know him. You don't know him. To Ruth, he was the kinsman's redeemer. Do you know him? Sound in the room. You don't. And so when he shows up as a portal, you don't hear me. Yeah. You don't know him. Because it's in this space, you don't get no answers. As a Christian, you got to learn to trust God in a narrow space with no answers. That's why when Moses had an encounter with God, he said, who should I tell Pharaoh sent me? And God said, you can't pin me down like that. I am. God have mercy. I wish I had a church. That I am. I can be whatever you need me to be, whenever you need me to be it. I'm a portal. I wish I had somebody in here. So what is a portal? What is a portal? Because I told you, for God to move you, he'll use a crisis, which will start a process, which will bring you to a passage, which will lead you to a portal. So what's a portal? What's a portal? The portal is that space between somewhere and nowhere. It's the liminal space. It's the edge of something. You know something's ending and you know something's beginning, but what's beginning has not started and what is ending has not stopped. So you're still in what was, looking at what is, but what is out of your grasp. So you're in this tight space with no answers. God, Jesus. And you're trying to figure out, how do I get to what is? How does it become a reality? If I really wanted to talk about it, and I am, I'm going to take my time with it because I have to. If I really wanted to talk about it, I would suggest to you and I that many people, even in this room, even those that are listening to me right now, have a. If we did the laundry, if we really really did the laundry, if we really did the laundry and we talked about our lives in a real way, if we did that, what we would discover that many of our lives, if you will, are sitting there full of dreams. In other words, it's like if I walked into your laundry room right now, what would I find? I probably would find laundry that has not been done, or laundry that's been done that's still in the laundry room. It's okay if you live out your dryer. It's all good. I understand that. I just want to talk to you. Come on, let's talk about it. Uh-huh. And so the stuff that's in your dryer or in your basket sits in your laundry room. It's stuff that you want to wear. It's stuff, you don't hear what I'm saying. It's stuff that you want to wear because you washed it. Uh-huh. But it sits in there because it's convenient. It's convenient. And to take it all out and to fold it and to put it into place is work. And so you keep it in there. Our dreams are like those clothes that sit in the laundry room of our lives. We know they're there, but they're really not being utilized. And so if we really took that type of inventory, you would find your lost socks. You would find your lost shirt. You would find the thing that you were looking for. It was there the whole time. It was just covered over overtime because you didn't go through the process of taking care of what you had to take care of. And so you lost something that you own and it's still in your house and you think it's missing, but it's not, it's still there. If you went down in the basket, you would find what you're looking for. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to dig deep in my basket. Yes, I am. There's some dreams down there that I thought I lost. There's some purpose down there that I thought was gone. There's some endeavors down there that I want to do with my life that I thought was over. When we do that type of laundry, we find out that what God showed us, what we envisioned, hasn't gone anywhere. It's still there. Stay with me. It's still there. Look at your neighbor and say, it's still there. It's still there. It's still there. But unfortunately, the average life is littered with the rubble of unfulfilled dreams. Yeah, that is the sad fact. We must understand that there's a missing ingredient here that makes us feel like what we were dreaming about and what God told us and what he promised us coming into reality and becoming real and becoming something tangible, whether it's peace or joy, whether it's power, whether it's healing, whatever it is you're looking for, whether it is in your relationships, whether it is in your career, whether it is in your business endeavors, it doesn't matter. You're trusting God to make it a reality. And God is saying, I need you to come through me so I can come through you. And until you come through me, I can't come through you. But in order for you to come through me, some stuff in you don't fit. So I have to whittle you down so that you can fit through the portal of my son, Jesus Christ. You're not in here with me. And so in order for you to do that, you have to know him. Because when you come into contact with him, he's going to say, take my yoke upon you. No, it's quiet. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's going to require you to put something on you. So the first thing that he's going to do is burden you. So you're burdened before you're blessed. I'm going to teach it. It's all right. It's all right. And you took the burden and made yourself bitter because you didn't understand the weight of the burden. He never will put a burden on you that has the capacity to take you out. He will only place on you what you can handle. Y'all not in here with me. Don't mistake the burden that God places on you and make yourself bitter because you thought you were going to have to carry it all the days of your life. The reason why he burdens you is so that you can learn something. so that you can learn how to trust him in a narrow space without any answers and still come out with your praise intact. That you can sit on the threshold of something and say, I will bless the Lord at all times and actually mean it. Not just say it, but mean it. Slap your name and say, I gotta learn some stuff. I gotta learn some stuff. I gotta learn how to endure hardship like a good soldier. I gotta learn that the weapon always forms, it just never prospers. So when I start seeing it form, don't panic. Praise. You know what I mean? When I start seeing it form, don't panic. Praise. As soon as the attacks start forming, look, I'm gonna give you glory. Oh God, y'all out of here. I wish I had somebody in here. You're panicking when you should be praising. And the reason you're panicking is because you don't know him. He introduced himself to you and he says, hi, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so he tried to plant you. Oh, Lord have mercy. Stay with me. So he burdened you by planting you. Yeah, see, that's the burden. Okay, yeah. So that you can be a tree of righteousness. So he tried to plant you. Yeah. And when he tried to plant you, you was like, I don't like this dirt. So he planted you. Don't move. And you going, I want out. And he went, boom, I plant you. Because I did all this cultivating and I did all this cultivating through tribulation. This is why when a farmer cultivates the ground, the tool that they use is called the tribulum. The tribulum is designed to disrupt. So tribulation is designed to disrupt. This is why the Bible comes along and says, count it all joy. Don't have mercy when you start going through a whole bunch of disruption, knowing that the trying of your faith is working patience, and patience, I can't get no help, is having its perfect work in you so that you can be built to be complete and whole with nothing missing, broken, or lacking in your life. Planted, rooted, solid. But because you don't want to be planted, you're now tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine or every storm that blows. You don't have the capacity to sit in the middle of the storm and say, give me your best shot, because I'll stand here and say, peace, God, be still. You just want out. Yeah, I know. You just want out. And when you want out, you uproot yourself and try to find your own soil. This is why the psalmist wrote that he that meditates on the word day and night shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, so that his leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. He planted you, and you didn't like the planting, because to be planted, to have your feet planted by God, means that you have to grow down before you grow up. In the kingdom of God, up is not up. To go up in the kingdom, you must first go down. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that in due time he may exalt you. You don't want to go down. And so your dream stays in the basket, because you don't want to be planted. You want to be purposed. You want to be profitable. but you don't want to be planted. You want things to work in your favor. You want to shout, favor ain't fair. I got the favor of the Lord. But you're not planted. And so the enemy can pluck you off when you're not planted. I gotta hurry up. So the problem with not being planted is that you don't believe. This is where I want to stay right here. You don't believe. So the psalmist begins to recall what God has done and recalls, watch me now, that the Lord took them through it, the children of Israel through it. And when they came out of it, they came out unto a wealthy place. Now let's talk about it for a second, because in actuality they did. They took all the gold out of Egypt. God changed their economy in 24 hours. God changed their economy in 24 hours. They came out of Egypt, and then they got to the brink of the Red Sea. And God told Moses, it's not like the story in your mind. It's not the cartoon, The Prince of Egypt. It's not Cecil B. DeMille's classic epic, The Ten Commandments. It's not how it went down. God told Moses every step of the way, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He's going to tell you no, but keep asking. After they come out and they get all the spoils of Egypt and the gold of Egypt and the wealth of Egypt, and they pay them to get out, they leave. And when they leave, the Bible says they left not one sick, not one feeble among them. Nobody was broken. 400 years of slavery, being beaten and whipped on your back, and nobody leave with a scar, with a wound, with a bruise. Everybody walked out of there healed and set free with all the money that they needed for their new life. So when I come out with it all. You don't hear what I'm saying? When God brings you out, he brings you out with it all. Not just financial freedom, but he brings you out with your physical healing and your mental healing. There was no mental trauma on these people when God brought them out. When God brings you out, you come out with it all. I dare you to high five your neighbor and say, I'm coming out with it all. My wealthy place is not about money. It's about my mental health and my spiritual well-being. It's about my children being blessed and my house being blessed and my family being blessed. I'm not talking about money. You can lose money. Y'all sit down. I'm just getting warmed up. You can lose money. So the psalmist records, I got to hurry up. The psalmist records to them the history of Israel. We went through the fire. We went through the water. But thou brought us out unto a wealthy place, a wide space, a well-watered place. A place of abundance, a place with some room, a place with the ability to grow. And he reminds them of that because it's a matter of belief. It's a matter of belief. In other words, the missing ingredient to you seeing the opportunity that God has in front of you and it being possible and it becoming probable is belief. Belief is the secret sauce to everything. The problem with belief, it sounds too ethereal to be meaningful. It's not something that's way out there. In other words, even though it seems intangible, if you will, belief is substantial. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So my faith then is not so much, Lord have mercy, on the thing I'm believing, but it's in the thing that told me about the thing I'm believing. So it is the object of my faith, not the obstacle of my faith, that should drive my belief. My belief should be in an object substantiated with evidence. You don't hear me. Now faith is the substantiation of things hoped for and the evidence of what I don't see. I am standing in a space where I cannot see what God said, but I do know God. And because I know God, I choose to place my belief in him, even though I don't see him. I don't see him, but I know him. The reason I know him is because if he wasn't who he said he was, I would not have made it this far. I'm about to preach this thing up in here. You don't have to see him, you just gotta look in the mirror. When you look back over your life and start trying to figure out how you made it, slap your neighbor and say, it's all God, baby, it's all God. It's all God. I wish I had a church in here. Oh, touch three people and say, it's all God, it's all God. Yeah, it's all him. It's, oh God, I feel like preaching in here. It's all him, it's all him, it's all him. So watch me now, so watch me now. So, Lord Jesus. So because it's all God, then I should not have any belief problems. And when my faith starts wavering, I should just get a mirror. It's too simple. When my faith starts wavering, I need to find a mirror. Because the moment I find the mirror, I find the portal. Soon as I look in the mirror, I can't forget which manner of man that I saw. I gotta remember, God's been good to me. I gotta remember the Lord has brought me from a mighty long way. I gotta remember he brought me through the fire and he brought me through the water. You ought to get a compact out right now and say, you're looking at a miracle. Oh God, I wish I had somebody to talk to in here. Oh God, touch three people and say, you're looking at a miracle, baby. You ain't gotta wait for one, you're looking at one. I should have been dead a long time ago. I should have lost my mind a long time ago. I should have left this earth a long. I feel like preaching just for a little bit. Slap your name and say, I should have been out of here a long time ago. But if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. Who am I preaching to in here? You're looking at a living, breathing, walking, talking miracle. Oh. I gotta hurry up. I gotta hurry up. Give me 5 more minutes. Give me 5 more minutes. So let me help you understand something about belief. It's not intangible. It's substantial. Yeah, it's the substance of your dream. It's the glue that binds together your emotions, your actions, and your resources to create something out of what seems to be like nothing. Yeah, but the problem with belief is that it's not an attitude that can be bestowed upon you. Belief is a choice. When I read the text earlier in the service, and I said, he brought us through the fire and he's brought us through the water, but thou hast brought us out into a wealthy place. Half of you didn't even believe it because you don't even imagine what a wealthy place looks like. You've buried it in the basket of the laundry room of your life and you use it, oh my God, like you use old socks and you keep it tucked away in there. But I came to pull that thing out today and to say to you, there is no expiration date on what God showed you 5 years ago and 10 years ago. You gotta pull that thing out. Why do you think he brought you through what he brought you through? He brought you through it so that he could bring you into something different, into something greater, into something better. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to step into it. I'm about to step into it. I wish I had a church in here. I'm about to step into it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to step into it. So this is why the psalmist starts off by reminding them of what God has done and use the phrase, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness, because praise has got to be the thing that helps you choose to believe. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm about to choose to believe. Yes, I am. I know it looks like I shouldn't believe it, but I have to choose to believe it, because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. I told this story before, but I was flying to Dallas, and on my way to something that I had been petitioning God for, and I made a petition to the Lord. All right, the Bible says, "Don't be anxious for anything, but with everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." So I made my request to the Lord. I went out there and I said, this is what's in my heart to do. I know God put it in my heart to do. I told the person what I wanted to do, and then left the meeting going, okay, God, how are we going to do it? My phone rings, lady calls me and invites me down to Dallas with the answer that I was looking for. I'm on a plane, I get on the plane, I'm crying profusely, I can't stop crying, and I'm sitting there crying, I got a towel over my face because I can't stop crying, and I'm like, Lord, you got to get up off of me right now. I'm on a plane, this looks crazy, I'm crying profusely, and the Holy Spirit says to me, I'm probably an hour into the flight, and I'm crying a whole hour, and the Holy Spirit says to me, the reason that you're crying profusely is because I need you to believe it. I need you to understand that this is not a fantasy. I don't need you to go into it with your business acumen. I don't need you to go into it with all you know about how deals happen. I don't need you to go into it with all your experiences. I need you to go into it with belief. I need you to go into it as if it's already done. I need you to walk into the situation like I've answered the prayer that you've asked me for, and I need you to be ready to move. I need you to believe it. Look at your name and say, you gotta believe, you gotta believe. Come on, I know I'm talking to somebody in here. You got to believe. You can't be full of doubt and full of reservations when God tells you he's about to do a thing. And when God says you're about to step into the biggest harvest of your life, that shouldn't fall on deaf ears. You ought to choose to believe that. I don't know how it's going to happen, but baby, I believe it. And if you're having belief problems, you ought to take 20 seconds and praise God for what he has done, so that now you can start getting faith for what he's about to do. You gotta believe it. Now let me give you the back end of it. Sit down. You gotta believe it. 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 You gotta, no. You can't go into this portal. You can't go into this next level. You can't go into this next opportunity with your doubts and your skepticism. You've got to believe it, because it's coming in a way that you have not seen before. And it's about to happen at a capacity that you have not experienced before. I'm speaking prophetically, and I'm trying to tell you, it's here and it's coming. And you can't meet this with your skepticism. The only thing you can do is say, God, I believe you. I believe you. We used to sing a song back in the day, and all it said was, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. Let me give you the back end of it. You have to choose it. And if you do not choose it, if you don't choose it, doubt will fill your life. See, belief will motivate you to pursue the opportunity, because you believe the opportunity has merit and promise. Oh, Lord have mercy. Watch this. So you have to, I'll put it to you this way. So you have to use your praise to supersize your positivity. Look at your name and say, I'm about to supersize it. The reason why you have to supersize your positivity is because now you're going to go from praise to prayer. And when you go from praise to prayer, which should be a part of your strategy for this year, oh God, says you to produce the impact that God wants you to have. He has you in a strategic position at this portal where he's about to take you through, where you're no longer standing at the intersection of what God said and what you see. You know, have mercy. Now those two worlds are about to collide. And the dream is about to become a reality. And what God said is going to be worked in real time based on what you see. And you can't show up in that place talking about, I can't believe it. You got to be ready to move with nimbleness and quickness of foot, like a deer with hind feet. You got to be ready to run into that opportunity and into that situation, ready to move based upon the fact that you believe the Lord. And the reason why you want to use your praise to supersize it is because the entryway is just the beginning. You don't hear what I'm saying. In other words, the harvest is just the start. You don't hear what I'm saying. What you're about to experience is just the beginning of something that's about to be perpetual for the rest of your life. In other words, what I'm trying to prophesy to you is that this thing ain't going away. It's not going to be God does it one time and then all of a sudden we go, he did it. No, this about to be 24/7, baby, 365. If I had time, if I had more time, I would teach you longer. But watch this. So now I have to use my praise to supersize my positivity. So I have to go into this situation with this balanced approach of transforming the possibility into probability. And the way that I do that is to first believe. And I believe by making sure I remember what God has done. And when my belief falters, all I need to do is get a mirror and look at myself and remember what the Lord has done. When I start remembering what the Lord has done, I then get faith to start praising him for what he's going to do. And that faith changes my prayer life. Oh, God, I feel like preaching. I stop talking to God about my problems. And I start talking to him about my solutions. I stop dumping on him everything that's wrong, and I start talking to him about everything that's right. If my belief doesn't change my prayer life, then I'll go into a new opportunity with stale prayers. Prayers that the Lord has already answered. I just didn't like the answer. He already answered your prayer. He answered it and he said, not yet. And you heard no. So you uprooted yourself, went and planted somewhere else. He created a crisis that started a process that created a passage that brought you right back to the portal. I'm preaching way better, y'all shouting up in here. So you ran only to run back to the same spot. Am I talking to somebody? You ran only to run back to the same spot. Y'all know I'm talking, right? And watch me now. So now when we get to Ephesians, I don't have a lot of time to go there, but when we get to Ephesians now, we're taking our praise and we're coupling it with our prayer life. And when we couple it with our prayer life, the prayer life should be a reminder, just like the praise was a reminder. And the reason why the praise is a reminder is because the prayer is a realization. So when I start praying, I'm praying like, oh, this thing is real. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So, come on, get Ephesians 3 up there for me. So when Paul starts praying this prayer, he starts praying it so that people can realize, Lord, have mercy, what they got and what God is about to do. Because, watch me now, because if I'm only praying about my problem, that means that then God can only do exceedingly abundantly above what I ask or think. He will not move beyond what he's thinking. He will only move beyond what you're thinking. Y'all didn't hear, y'all. I'm sorry to teach it in practical standpoint, because you're praying goofy stuff. You don't have mercy. And you're praying to God about problems and situations that are only disruptions so that you can get planted. And you're asking God to change the circumstance. And the circumstance is the thing that he is, it's the tool that he is using so that you go down so that you can come up. And you're coming to God saying, change the thing. And he's going, no, I'm not going to change the thing. I need you to go deeper and trust me more. Go back, go back, go back, go back to, go back. I want to teach this, and I don't want to, listen, I don't want you to lose me in translation, and I want to slow down for just a second. I don't care. I know I got 2 minutes left, and I'm going to take these 2 minutes, and I'm going to get this thing in your spirit, because today, yeah, today, you're coming out into a wealthy place. Go to verse 14. That's where I want to go. Verse 14. Watch this thing. So Paul says, for this cause. What cause? For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep going. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Keep going. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Paul is saying, I'm getting on my knees to pray that you realize that what God promised you is going to take place and is going to happen. But the reason I'm praying it is so that you can realize it for yourself. Because if you don't realize it for yourself, my God, then you'll be right back where you started. When God has you strategically positioned to be about to come through something and come out on the other side of it and into a wealthy place, just touch your neighbor and parenthetically insert this into their spirit and say, you're closer than you think you are. You're closer than you think you are. And so he says, I'm praying that you don't lose strength while you're sitting in a narrow space without answers. So the first thing that you need to start praying for is that your spirit man might be strengthened. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm closer than I think I am. When you start getting fatigued and frustrated, that's when you're almost finished. You're closer than you think you are. When all hell starts breaking loose, you're closer than you think you are. Watch this. Keep going. I'm almost done. Keep going. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted, planted, grounded in love. You got to know that God is not experimenting on your life. That his every endeavor on your behalf is done with infinite wisdom. And he's doing it out of a deep love for you. Oh God, who am I talking to in here? You're not some guinea pig. You're not God's science experiment. You're the apple of his eye. He says, you gotta be rooted and grounded in love so that you can maybe able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and the height of God's love for you. Keep going. And to know the love of Christ, that's what he said. That passive knowledge is stupid the way he loves us. It's insane and it's ridiculous and I don't understand it, but he does it. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Keep going. Now we get to this place. So the whole prayer changes. That now is unto him who is able. He's able. Slap your neighbor high five and say, my God is able. He's able. But are you willing to think it? Are you willing to believe it? Are you willing to pray for it? He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Slap your name and say, my prayer life is about to change. I gotta rip up my old prayer list And I got to get a new prayer list and start praying for some big stuff and start praying for some real stuff. Everyone standing on your feet all over the room. I came this morning to combat disbelief. Listen to me. I almost forfeited my destiny because I didn't want to believe it. I almost quit. Pastor Michael Phillips,
the preacher,
I was going to quit. 2012, I was walking away. Done. Quitting. At the height of the greatest move of God I've ever seen in my personal life. And it liked to destroy me. It destroyed me because I thought once we get out of this, this gonna happen and that's gonna happen and we gonna and that's gonna happen and that. I thought that everybody was celebrating. Yeah. What I found out was everybody's wrestling with their own doubt. And I saw God move. I saw God transform this building. I saw him do it without me. I mean, I was involved, but not really. I mean, I was full of faith, man. I mean, if God told me believe him for a pink elephant, you better believe y'all gonna see me riding a hill on a pink elephant. That's where I was with God. Like, real talk, I was there. I believe him for anything. And he would do it. And then he brought me to a portal, a space where I had to choose to believe. Whoa. Not that he could do all this stuff. You can believe him for your situation to turn around. But you can't believe him for you. You don't hear me. When he says to you, I created you for this and I put this in you and I want you to do that. And you start doubting you. I'm talking to somebody. Y'all just being quiet, trying to hide in the crowd, but I know I'm talking to you. And I almost gave up because I doubted. And here's why I doubted it. Because I was in that liminal space. I can see it. I know he said it. But every time I try to go in it, the door was shut in my face. Now the door was open. So that's the only reason I went to the door. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So he would tell me, I created you with a global purpose and you're going to do this and go there and do it. And so I did. I was in Africa and I was all over the place. I was preaching here and doing that. And I thought it was about preaching. See, that's the mistake I made. You don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The mistake I made was that my thinking was small. He's able. But unless I ask it or think it, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He's able, but unless I have something to do with it. My thinking and my asking was small. I confined God to the narrow space that I was in. And I start viewing him as narrow and as confined as I was, because I was in a tight place. So my praise was small. My prayer was small. Y'all don't hear me. My thinking was small. Me telling you I was going to quit don't make me weak. It makes me strong. That makes me strong. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor, I ain't scared of you. I ain't scared of you. That makes me strong, boo. To be able to come out here and tell you that's how I was feeling. I was going plumb smooth quit. I was figuring out my exit strategy. Y'all have no idea. I love you. I do. But I came and I saw God move, and I went across the country and I started preaching about it. And folk told me, don't nobody want to hear all that. Others told me. That's too much for people. Nobody can handle that. And I'm like, but I saw him do it. It's like blind Bartimaeus, shut up. And blind Bartimaeus is like, yeah, you shut up. I'm trying to see. It's amazing how people will criticize how you get blessed. So I want to pray for you. I know it's late. I know I wanted to get you out of here, but I want to pray for you because I think this is important. The man said to the Lord, I want to believe, but help my unbelief. Belief is a choice. I believe that I'm more than a conqueror. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that he rose on the third day. I believe that when he said that any man that's in Christ is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are made new. I believe that. I believe that. I believe if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I shall be saved. I believe that. Saved means to be made well, preserved, kept safe, whole. I'm not saved from something. I'm saved for something. So you're not saved to escape hell. You're saved for your purpose and your destiny to live on this earth. So he preserved you so that you could be purposeful. So salvation is not about not going to hell, even though I don't want to go. And there is a hell to gain, by the way. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Even though people are preaching otherwise. The problem is that hell is not created for you. It's not. The Bible says he wishes that none should perish. So God didn't create hell for human beings. It all comes down to a choice. 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 You have to choose to believe. I can't bestow my belief on you. Your mama can't bestow it on you. Your grandmama can't give it to you. Your daddy can't give it to you. You got to choose it for yourself. So I want to pray for you in two ways. I want to pray for those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want to pray for people who stop believing. I want to pray for people who stop believing in themselves. And I know I'm preaching to you because I can feel it in my gut. God, I can feel this thing. You stop believing in yourself. You let the laundry pile up and pile up and pile up and pile up and pile up. And I didn't quite care if I came out here and said anything to you that was spectacular. I just wanted to talk to people who stop believing. Who stop believing. And I know I'm in the right room. You know you're in the room. I already told you I stopped. So I went first. Now it's your turn. You know this message resonated with your spirit. You stopped believing. You got sick of church. You got sick of God. You got tired of it all. You weren't seeing it manifest. They prophesied to you. They told you it was coming in the Cadillac and so forth and blah, blah, blah. And it never showed up. You got in a $100 line, a $1,000 line, the $8 line. You held your right toe and your right pinky. And you did everything they told you to do. And nothing happened. I want to pray with you right now. Here's your opportunity to get your faith back. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And here's the thing about faith. You don't need a lot of it. You can have it. It's the size of a mustard seed. That's all you need. This altar's open. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You stop believing. You stop dreaming. You stop hoping. Your praise got stale. Your prayer life is stale. You're saying, God, when is it going to happen? When is it going to take place? God's about to bring you out into a wealthy place. Yeah. He's about to bring you out into a wealthy place. He's about to bring you out into a wealthy place. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. Come on, his altar is open. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Give up on God. Give up on God. Cause he won't give up on you. He's able.
Soft. Soft, 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 softly. I want to pray for you. I know what it feels like. I need you to understand that. I am not a novice. This is not about anything but something real and authentic from an individual who knows exactly how you feel at this moment. Believing God and believing God and hoping and dreaming and willing your way and catching your breath to get back up again and go back at it. And I know how that feels. Trust me. And saying, God, come on, man. I can't take no more. I can't go another step further. I'm a fold under this weight. And here's the beauty of it. You never fold it. You never fold it. You're still here. And you made a choice. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. Not only are you still here, you made a choice to come down here. What's that tell you? It tells you you ain't done. You're not done because God's not done. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Lord in here. So I want to give you something real. Something real right now. And I came in this room for this reason alone. Because I still sometimes have to wrestle with those feelings. Because when God is telling you you're about to do some big stuff, you're like, are you serious right now, man? And then you look, get a look at yourself and you go, I can't do that. No, you can't. But you can through Christ. See, he's that portal. Yeah. So the feeling, watch me now. So the feeling that I was fighting is fuel now. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's my fuel. When I start getting low, I start getting excited. Because that lets me know I am no longer in control. God has got this thing and I am tapped out. And my hands are off of it now. And that's when it starts to manifest. That's when it starts to become a reality. So your thinking is about to change. Your prayer life is about to change. You're going to go from, God, help me to stop doing this, to God, show me how to get that done. Show me how to make that happen. You're going to go, oh God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. You're going to go from prayers of deliverance to prayers of destiny. I'm talking to somebody at this altar right now. See, right now you're praying for deliverance. You're praying to be set free. You want to come out of it, whether it's emotional, whether it's habitual, whatever it is that's keeping you locked into this space in your mindset, and you're praying to be delivered. You just want to be set free. You just want to be out. You just want it to be over, and you want God to wave a wand. Imagine, He's not going to do it like that. He's not going to do it like that. It's going to come down to choice. And because you made that choice to come to this altar today, you're going to go from prayers of deliverance to prayers of destiny. What I'm trying to tell you is that you're about to be delivered and set free right now, all at the same moment. Whatever is binding you, whatever is holding you, whatever is keeping you, just lift your hands right at this altar. Whatever is holding you, whatever is binding you, whatever is keeping you, you're about to be set free because you made a choice. God did it for me. He's about to do it for you. There's about to be a separation from the wheat and the tare. Yeah. It's harvest time in your life. And I see God pulling out the misery and pulling out the pressure and pulling out the pain and pulling out the trauma and pulling out the turmoil. He's going all the way back in your history, in your childhood, and He's pulling it all out and separating the wheat from the chaff, and the wheat He can use, and the chaff He's going to discard, and your life is about to be completely different and totally rearranged and changed by the power of the living God. Father, I thank You. I thank You that in this moment of choice, like the woman who reached out to touch the hem of Your garment, in a moment, after years of ambiguity and years of stress and strain and trauma, You turned that situation around instantly with a touch. So Father, we stand in this place just like that woman, and we're asking for an instant touch. For those of us who don't know You as Savior, we're saying save us. For those of you who know You, but we're wrestling and we're doubting and we're grappling and we've walked away and came back and walked away and came back and messed up and got back up and messed up and got back up. Father, we need to be strengthened with might in our inner man, and we need to be touched instantly and changed by Your power. So Father, I thank You that right now every person at this altar is getting an instant touch of Your power and Your glory right now in the name of Jesus. And if you believe that, lift your hands and let Him touch you right now at this altar. Come on, lift your hands and let God touch you right at the altar. Come on, you and Him, you and Him. Come on, you and Him, you and Him, you and Him right now. Hey! Oh! Oh! Come on, be set free. 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 Be set free.
Be set free.
Now here's what I want you to do. 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 Thank You, Holy Ghost. God, Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. You want to know how I got it back? You want to know what stopped me from not quitting? Well, it's a lot of things that happened, but... I got a phone call. group of people came here to see what happened. I took them on a tour of the facility. They invited me to preach at a conference. And I was going to tell them no. I was going to tell them no. And the Holy Spirit said, if you miss this window of opportunity, you will miss it forever. Harvest has a clock. Said you'll miss it forever. So I had to choose. Now they invite me to preach, and I was going to say no. No, thank you. And the Holy Spirit said, you better go. So I said, all right, I'll go. I went. And I did not want to preach. I love preaching. I do. But I had got to the place of just, I'm tired. And here I am, about to preach in this wonderful, wonderful auditorium. And I said, God, I don't have it. And the Holy Spirit said, if you'll lose yourself in praise, I'll give it back to you. Jesus, my God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And before I went on that platform, I lost myself in praise. So much so, I couldn't even preach. The whole service was a praise service. I opened my mouth and the church just erupted. We started praising the Lord. And that was the service. And I got it back. What'd you get back, Pastor? My belief. My belief. I believe God now. I've been through it. Up and down, back and forth. And I got it back. And my job and my assignment today was for you to get it back. And I'm telling you, if you take the next 60 seconds and lose yourself in a praise to God, and don't care about who's next to you, it don't take long. And don't care about what they say about you. And don't care about what they're going to do to you. And don't care about the naysayers that's going to find you at home and call you a hypocrite and this, that, and the other. I promise you, if you take the next 60 seconds and lose yourself in the atmosphere of praise, you will get it back. You will get it back. Hey! Come on, it's coming back. It's coming back. I can feel it coming back to you. Hey! Shetobo Sabrakanahan. Come on, lose yourself in it. Lose yourself in it. Hey! Come on, get your joy back. Get your dance back. Get your shout back. Get your joy back. Get your faith back. Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh! Yeah. Come on. Right there. I dare you. I dare you to give him glory. I dare you to lift him up. I dare you to give him praise. To God be the glory. Hey! To God be the glory. Oh. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God, oh, oh. To God be the glory. Oh. To God be the glory. Oh. Yeah. Get it back, get it back, get it back, get it back, get it back. Lift up a shout of praise unto the Lord right now. I want you to high five, hug two or three people down here and say, I got it back. I got my belief back. I got my faith back. I got my zeal back. I got my joy back. I got set free at this altar. Come on, testify. Let them know what you got. Let them know what you got. I gave my life back to Jesus at this altar. I got, oh, oh. My God, there's some power down here. Hey. Whenever, you can go back to your seat. Whenever you feel like you're about to enter back into a dark space, go to praising the Lord. Go to praising the Lord. You say, Pastor, soft God. You say, Pastor, why didn't you lay hands on us? Why don't you pray? It's a choice. It's got to be between you and Him. I don't want you relying on me. I do want to pray for somebody. Where'd she go? Go get her daughter. She was standing right here. Tori, go get her. I'm gonna pray for her. It's gotta be between you and the Lord. You and the Father. I'm not gonna be there when you have to choose again. Hallelujah. Start praising the Lord. Start talking to the Father. Do this daily. Listen, I love music, but can I talk to my millennials for a second? You being turned up 24/7 is not good for your spiritual and mental health. It's not good for you. I understand the culture. You binging on Insecure and a great show, wonderful, all that good, you know, about, you know, adult life in your younger 20s and 30s. Wonderful, great. But if you're not putting in something spiritual, junk in is junk out. And you wonder why you can't grow. You keep uprooting. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not giving it to you like I got it. When I was got it, I couldn't watch the Smurfs, man. I couldn't do anything coming up. We were holiness, and so you did nothing. And I'm not suggesting that to you. You know, enjoy your life, but know that junk in is junk out. And if you're not putting in something spiritual, you coming here once a month is not it. That don't do it for you. You won't see the manifestation of what God promised, because what God promised is connected to you being planted. So you're waiting for it to come when it's going to grow. You got it. So that's the problem. You keep waiting for it to show up, but it grows up. And because you're not planted, you don't see the fruit. Now you get it? It just hit you, right? You got to be planted. I want you, Angie, to wrap your arms around her. Wrap your arms around her. Wrap your arms around your mother. This bond symbolizes the break of generational curse that has tried to run this family. And God says, today is your day of deliverance and freedom instantly. May the power of the living God fall upon you now in Jesus' name and break that hold on your life now. Somebody shout about it. Let them fall. Go. Shekobo Saya. Go.
Freedom is here.
Shout about it.
Freedom is here.
Shout about it.
Freedom is here.
Go.
Freedom is here.
Freedom.
Freedom is here.
Freedom is here.
Freedom is here.
Freedom.
Freedom is here.
Lift those hands all over the room. I'm sorry, I messed this whole service up. I'm sorry. Jesus, Lord heaven. You're coming into the greatest harvest of your life. You are coming into the greatest harvest of your life. And the reason, oh God, I said, you're not believing it because you're like, well, I haven't sown nothing. He sent you to reap. He didn't send you to sow. Everything I just said is scriptural. Jesus told his disciples, I sent you to reap. God reaps where he doesn't sow. What makes you think you can't do the same? Ruth walked into Bethlehem during the barley harvest and reaped where she didn't sow. The children of Israel walked out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt and reaped where they didn't sow. You and I received Jesus Christ as our Savior, and the wall of partition between us and God was broken, and we reaped where we didn't sow. What makes you think it can't happen again? You are about to walk into the greatest harvest of your life. Oh, God. Get ready for it. You're going to need to be mentally ready and spiritually fortified. Get ready for it. The moment you walk out that door, you step into a wealthy place. The moment you walk, oh God, I feel you. The moment you walk out that door, you're stepping into a wealthy place. Lift those hands all over the room. May God bless you, keep you, his face shine upon you. May his favor surround you like a shield. May he strengthen your spirit right now to be able to walk into a wealthy place. It's well watered. The land is wet. All you got to do, is walk in it. Put the seed in the ground. It's going to produce. It's already been cultivated. It's already been established. It's already been bought. It's already been paid for. You got to walk in it. You got to walk in it. So let the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you and give you peace. May his angels surround you and his blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Hug two or three people and say, I'm going into my wealthy place, baby. God bless you. We love you. Wednesday night worship. See that.
The harvest is here. The harvest is here. The harvest is here.